Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody. Right here onto the early line. Hour number two, giving you the edge on Sports Grid. Dane Martinez and my main man, the candle burner, Kevin Walsh, burning it at both ends. He was on in-game live with our guy Smitty last night talking about Monday Night Football. He's here this morning breaking it all down with the spitting statistician. We turn our attention, however, Kev, to the game that you will be following on in-game live tonight, and it is the World Series, the Fall Classic here. And we congratulate the teams that are still standing, the Tampa Bay Rays and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Before we get into game one, let's talk about this series. Let's talk about this series. The series price right now, right? You got the Dodgers at minus 210. You got the Rays coming back at about plus 175 for the series. Before I ask you, you know, a lot of times when we talk about a football game, right, you say on its face, let's just figure out what do you think the final score will be, and then let's talk about the bets that you can make going into it. So on its face, what do you think? Before I get into numbers and value and odds, what do you think is going to happen over the next week here in the World Series?
It's a great question. I will say the Dodgers being here is unsurprising. They were the best team all year long. And, you know, they were a very small price to make it out of the National League, right? Plus 110 maybe once the bracket was set. And I was like, I think you might still want to play on that number because they're going to get there. We now get here. And I feel as if, you know, this Tampa Bay Rays team that won 40 games, the only other 40-win team in baseball, I didn't give enough respect to during the year. Probably because of the pinstriped colored glasses I was wearing. It's all right. I look at this Rays team now as an equal to the LA Dodgers. I really do. So that now makes this a tough series to call, right? We take home field out of the whole thing.
Right.
And I think the Dodgers should be your favorites. But I'm not sure anybody should be a minus 200 favorite on a series price to these Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah.
So it comes down to, you know, the baseball question that has racked my brain all year. Can I make a bet believing I'm getting value, even if I think it's going to lose? I think I've got the Dodgers in the series. I don't even know if that's true.
Wow.
I think.
So wait a second. I mean, if you're still up in the air, then isn't the right answer, like, by default, plus 160?
It's the right answer regardless. Because I have no conviction even if I tell you it's the Dodgers, right?
Right.
My point is, and this is where we're, you know, where we are just when it comes to baseball betting. This is where baseball betting is so different, right? Think about it, listen, with the Chiefs and the Bills last night, right? You know, the number was, I think, ultimately 5.5 or 6. And if I tell you the number should be 3, that's undeniable value. That which I can get a team to cover the number but still lose the game, right? In baseball, it's like, oh, this team is plus 176. I think they should be plus 115. Oh, so you think that they should still lose? They're plus money. They should still lose. But there's, you know, X sense of value there that makes it a play on. So, yes, I'll tell you this. There's no world I'd lay minus 210 with the Dodgers. It's raise or pass on the series price.
On the series.
No two ways about it.
All right, let me ask you this. And I brought up this point yesterday, and I want to see how much stock you put in it, and if it matters, how might you play it? And the question that I have for you is the idea that there's going to be off days in this series, okay? Mm-hmm. These guys have just gone through, you know, a best of three straight, a best of five straight, and a best of seven straight. No days off, right? And we've seen teams handle this a little bit differently. As we welcome in our radio audience from around the country, including out there out west, the Mightier 1090, thanks for waking up very early with us on the early line, right? We have seen teams manage this differently. The Houston Astros went starter followed by starter, right? We talk about the opener in baseball these days. We have all lauded the multiple power arms that the American League champions have, right? Does that, because part of the way I think about this, Kev, and part of the reason I might be into this value here on Tampa, is if you've got the better bullpen, and I think most people would acknowledge that the Rays do, and you give them the off day where they can kind of like, you know, run them out there a little bit more and not get as tired, I think that accentuates an edge that the Rays have in this series. Am I crazy?
No, you're far from crazy. This schedule is crazy because you think about what we've done. So we're going to play two games and yep. then have an off day.
Play yeah, three, no travel. We ain't traveling from day. Tampa to L.A.
Like, this is so different than what we've been doing. That on the other side of the coin, now, what you believe in Clayton Kershaw will vary. Mm. But I can reasonably have Kershaw start three games in this
series.
147.
Yeah.
And that matters Bueller, as well.
2-5. Yeah.
That matters as well to the MVP market, right? Mm. I mean, it's similar for Glasnow. Like, if I get Glasnow to throw three games and yeah. I maybe can get three wins out of it, that's hard to beat. So I agree with you. Listen, it's big for these Rays arms because they can, you know, cash doesn't have to be selective, right?
Right.
I can go to you time after time and feel good about it. Plus, it's the end of the year, right? So who cares? Sure. Tax the arm all you want. We don't know when we'll be back. But it can also work in a similar way for, you know, a high-end starter like Clayton Kershaw if you trust him.
If you trust him, right? And that's interesting. So what I think you're talking about in general that I do agree with, that I do think is interesting. And you know what's funny, Kev? When we started this regular season, this short regular season, remember when we talked about could a starting pitcher or reliever win the MVP award?
Yeah.
Let's have that conversation again about the World Series and other ways we can bet it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. Because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here onto the early line where we stand on the precipice of the 2020 World Series, Kev. Think about this. Like in May, in June, did we even think we'd have a World Series in 2020? And we had, you know, the things with the Cardinals and the Marlins and the bubbles and the travel. And here we are about to crown a Major League Baseball champion in 2020. We'll be doing it in Globe Life Stadium down in Texas, where there will be fans, Kev, to see the World Series. So I want to ask you about the MVP market. Let's start there because, you know, when we were going into the season, we were like, hey, this is going to be unique. Can someone get incredibly hot and run away with this? Remember, we talked about Charlie Blackmon hitting 400, a pitcher with a sub-1 ERA, all of the things that could have happened in this, you know, condensed season. And I think the World Series is now unique to return to the off days based on what these playoff teams have had to go through in the bubble so far. I look at the World Series MVP odds, and you make a great point. Listen, you have options like Kershaw at 9-1, Buehler at 10-1, Glasnow, Snell, Morton even. These are pitchers who now, with the off days, could get into and have a huge impact on two or three games into the series, right?
Yeah, I think this board is so interesting. All right, so we just had the NBA Finals, right?
Right.
We started with LeBron at like minus 180, right?
Yeah.
And then AD was around 300. I mean, you had to get to guy 4 to get to 8-1. And that's where we start. So automatically, if you want, you could take one unit and spread it around to 5 players, right? And give yourself life to come away here with some nice money. So that immediately is enticing. I think Kershaw 9-1 is interesting. How many starts, though, do I need for that to hit? Something to ask yourself. More than one is definitely the answer, by the way.
2+.
Okay.
You need 2 and the Herculean relief appearance in game 7 like you got out of like Curt Schilling or Randy Johnson back in the day.
I'm very interested in Mookie Betts at 9-1 because what's become very obvious is he's going to make it 2 or 3 defensive plays that will be remembered in the series. And he was pretty cold in the series against the Braves. Heated up at the end. If I get a hot Mookie Betts back, to me, he's the best player on either of these teams. So for him to be below Corey and Cody, I think there's just inherent value there on Mookie.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, we go past Randy or Rosarena. Listen, he's been incredible. He's been this team's best. He might have been the best player in the postseason to this point, no matter what, right? 10-1, that's great. Glasnow, Snell, Morton, that's where you go for your next set of Rays. And I understand the pitching angle, but there's so many of them, plus the bullpen. I don't think it's those guys. But Brandon Lau is 29-1.
He's
the best hitter on the Rays all year long. And he's going to play, obviously, every single game in this series.
Yeah.
How about Manny Margot, 43-1? He's got some defensive gems in him. G-Man Choi, 50-1. Right? Willie Adames at 60. Joey Wendell's got big hits under the belt, 65-1.
Right.
I think that the most value in this
Rays bats not named the Rosarena.
And even a Rosarena, I think I would love if they had to dwindle down the market, right? 4 ways. Dodgers pitcher, Rays pitcher, Dodgers batter, Rays batter. I'd be real interested. They should make that market. Let me call somebody.
Yeah.
But
and the Rays hitter would be the value, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I like that. I like when you talk about it comprehensively, right? Because can Margot hit 4 home runs in this World Series? Can Lau get hot? Remember, he had like his first hit of the playoffs, I believe, in game 7 and other options, right? Because let's put it this way. Going into the NLCS, you wouldn't have thought Corey Seager was going to be that guy who had a week, right? All you need is someone to get hot this week. I like that. I got to tell you something. I'm intrigued, though, by the Glasnow at 12-1. I think Glasnow could be a stud. If he gets a win in game 1, right, he could be a leader in the clubhouse with a start on the horizon. A starting pitcher for the world champion that goes 2-0 in this series is live. And I think Glasnow could be
that
guy.
Am I losing my mind? Diego Castillo's 95-1. Might he not pitch in 6 of these games?
He might, but in those 6 games, it might be for a total of 5 1/3. Right?
So, what if he is? But he can. This is the thing about relief pitchers. He can throw literally 7 perfect innings in this.
Remember, that's what we talked about
in this set.
Remember we talked about a closer winning Cy yes. Young because they could do – it's the same theory, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's possible. I ultimately don't think it would be a smart move if that were the case. I don't think they'll actually give it to him. But you're right. There's a universe where he looks very dominant and a huge piece of a potential yeah. Rays championship. Another market I think is interesting, Kev, is the total number of games in this one. You know, we always get the 4, 5, 6, or 7 games. And I find it weird, Kev, that there's a number of options over plus 200, Kev. You know the way I like to do this. If I want to spread it out a bit, right, and bet two of them, you think I'm crazy? What about going like 5 games and 6 games in this market? Ultimately, how, you know, let me, you know, press you on this. We're not going to see you tomorrow before game one. I think technically we have to make a pick on the series. So on its face, close your eyes. What's this series?
Yeah. I think it's a longer series.
Okay.
It's interesting, by the way. So again, we always look for these gaps. 6 games is plus 210. That's your favorite yeah. option. The Dodgers to win in 5 is the shortest series correct score.
Oh, exactly.
There's a gap there. There's a gap.
Well,
there.
With the 6 games, you're getting the Dodgers in 5 and the Rays in 5. And then when you add them up, you know, that's there could be wiggle room in there.
The most likely outcome for them is Rays in 7, Rays in 6. So 6 is still okay. your favorite outcome, but 7 is really where they see it for Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Here's let me throw something out to you. I'll see if you can bite on this. The Rays at +1.5 games with a mini hedge on 6 total games in the series at +210.
Sure. But the reason I can get behind that, Kev, is because right now what I'm going to tell you is that I am picking the Tampa Bay Rays to win the World Series. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so if I believe in that and you're going to give me a 1.5 games, sure.
I can hit both.
I'll take it. You could.
I can hit
you
both, could. Right?
If I needed to go to an exact score, though, I got to plant a flag somewhere, Kev. Give me the Rays in 6. I think they get yeah. it done. And I think that there's one Kershaw blow up, right? If there's one bad Kershaw game, and I like the Tampa Bay Rays and their bullpen to carry the day, I trust the 3 starters. I think the Tampa Bay Rays are going to be your World Series champion, and I'll call it in 6 games. I could say 7 because that's like giving us more content, but give me Tampa mm-hmm. in 6. Where do you go?
I think this thing might go 7.
Okay.
You want a prediction? I'll give you Dodgers in 7.
Fair enough.
That is about as little conviction as you can possibly get from any person. Like, I've got the favorite. I got it going as long as possible.
Right, it goes to show
how little confidence I have in really these. It's just they're very evenly matched teams, right?
They are.
There's just
I think the defense of the Rays might steal an unearned run around in a tight 4-3 game somewhere.
You want to talk about defense.
But then boots and belly are robbing home runs.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, you're coming up. Series, I believe, yeah.
These are the 2 best teams in baseball, right? Like, let's make no mistake about it. When the brackets were set, your 2 favorites to be here are here, right? Yeah. There were 2 teams that won 40 games.
These are the 1 seeds, right? Yeah.
So that's why I think leaning Rays at +176 is hard to argue. And you know, we'll probably be cracking into it a bit more, but look at the Game 1 series price. You don't see Kershaw below $2. You do not see Kershaw below $2.
Right.
He's at -170. Maybe that's them getting off the Kershaw train a little bit. Maybe. I think it says a little bit more about the Tampa Bay Rays and where they're booked at in the eye of the book.
No, I think that is fair, and you are absolutely right. When we come back on the early line, you know, we've talked about the wide mouth of the funnel. We zone in on Game 1, which happens tonight. The Fall Classic starts, and we'll tell you where we're leaning on Game 1 when we come back after the Sports Grid news update. You got the spitting statistician and the candle burner giving you all the information you need, and we'll do that going into the Fall Classic. But first, Sports Grid news update.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here to the Early Line. Big shout out to the radio affiliates from around the country. Thanks for waking up early with us. You're going to be able to hear us in so many ways as we continue to move on this fall. Big news here for Sports Grid. We will be excited to share that when it is appropriate. Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh. And Kev, let's look at game one now. Okay, we've talked about it. You like the Dodgers in seven. I like the Rays in six. We both acknowledge that this is going to be a good, well-played series, and we can see it going a lot of different ways. Well, it will start on game one tonight. As Christopher Welsh said, at 8 o'clock Eastern time, they'll announce the lineups. We'll probably have a big old American flag being unfurled, and there will be fans in the stands. I digress. What do we think about game one here? We've got Tyler Glasnow going for the Rays. We got Clayton Kershaw going for the Dodgers. The Dodgers are minus 170 on the money line. The total in this game is 7.5. How do you see this one playing out?
So I know where I want to start.
Okay.
Because of something you just said. There's fans.
Yes, there is.
The Rays haven't played in front of fans.
The Dodgers have. Long. In the NLCS.
And the Dodgers, home field, okay. But the Dodgers have now been here at Globe. Right?
Acclimated.
We've heard these players talk about the dimensions of parks and how it matters, right?
Sure.
Any credence into the idea that LA will be significantly more comfortable to start this series in the environment?
I think it will be odd for the Rays for the first time in months to hear fans. I think it will be slightly odd, right? To the first time a guy makes an error or doesn't get the hit with the runners in scoring position or whatever the case may be, there will be some reaction in the building. However, you just said it. These are the two best teams in baseball. I find it hard to believe that external factor will have so much of an impact. I got to tell you the truth. Yes, it'll be different, but I believe the fact that there's off days in between 2 and 3 and then again between 5 and 6 is a far greater actual factor for competitive balance and X's and O's than voices in the stands.
I think over the course of the series, it won't matter.
I think, but an initial game one shock, maybe the first time you go yard and you hear it, maybe.
But even like,
or the first time a Rosarena comes up to the plate, right? Rays fans have not been able to thank Arocompoyo so far, right? So maybe he gets a huge ovation, something like that. Maybe.
Even in the field, like, think about how comfortable Mookie is in right? Understanding to time his jumps, things like that. Like,
sure.
It's just, those are little things. It's almost, and I think you're right when you're like, these are the two best teams. You know how, like, when people debate LeBron and Jordan, you start to realize how much they're splitting hairs. Some people start talking about free throw percentage, and other people start talking about one guy playing against plumbers. And we go, you know what I mean? They're like, we're going around, around, and around in circles. But something that feels small, and I don't disagree, might actually matter. The idea that there actually might be a one game taste of a home field advantage for the Dodgers, I think I'm going to subscribe to a little bit. And I think as we continue this conversation, and I see Kershaw probably at the lowest price he's been all year long, right? Maybe a road game notwithstanding, but this is a game that is neutral field, if anything, edge Dodgers. I think I lean LA here in game number one, and I'm not sure minus 170 is too much to pay when you consider everything that's being presented to us.
All right. You know, fair enough. And I'm reminded, and I hate to go back to our Yankees, Kev, but I'm reminded of Aaron Judge in right field in a ballpark that he was uncomfortable,
breaking his neck,
unfamiliar with, right? Trying to jump up to rob a home run and not realizing that there was a little cushion overhang there, right? Mm-hmm. So is something like that plausible in an unfamiliar stadium or an unfamiliar environment? Yeah. It's plausible, but again, you know, like, listen, Kevin Kiermaier is a great center fielder, right? These guys are strong defensively, so I don't know how much it's going to play out. These also are, you know, teams seeing unfamiliar opponents. This is not interleague season. We don't see these guys. Talk to me maybe about strikeout props for a guy like Kershaw or Glasnow, power pitchers in this environment where the hitters may be a little bit on edge, a little bit geeked up, a little bit trying to go yard. Could you see the over on some strikeout props? I don't know if they are out just yet, so I don't want to quote them, but would you be thinking that the pitchers could dominate early on with these power pitchers?
So you've got Glasnow booked right now at 6.5, minus 132 to the over. And then you've got Kershaw booked at 7.5, plus 160 to the over. It is a little suspicious, and I would say even to the point of a little uncomfortable, that the book won't give us 6.5 on a Kershaw. Would you say, Dane, that the juice might be similar to Glasnow's prop for Kershaw?
Yeah.
Why are they
deciding
to give us what feels like an unplayable number?
I don't know. Do they have are the Rays more of a strikeout team? I don't think that's the case.
Yes.
I actually think they're a con. Yeah. Well, then maybe
they actually are a big strikeout team.
Then that's your answer.
Kershaw in his three postseason starts struck out 13 against Milwaukee, 6, and then 4 in the next two games. So, you know, if he's got the strikeout pitch going and he goes deep, look, if he's Clayton, he's Clayton.
But yeah, but wait a second, Kev.
Yeah.
Maybe if he's Clayton, he's not Clayton, because you just said, right? You may want to get Kershaw for 1, 4, and 7. So if that's what Roberts wants to do, does he not go deep? Do they manage it out the
he's
gate?
He's got to go deep. No, but okay, if he's rolling, he goes the whole way.
Okay. I'm just giving you could be in his mind, right?
Both of these numbers just moved very slightly, but minus 210 became minus 205 for Kershaw's under. Minus 132 became minus 128 on Glasnow's over. Glasnow's not been an over machine. It's very suspicious that they are setting themselves up for one-way traffic on the Kershaw prop. You are not going to get a lot of people to lay a 200 on an under. You will get people to say, over, Kershaw, dominant, cool. That's a little
unsettling. Maybe that's what they want.
It probably
you know?
But you know what? It's now, but it doesn't break the bank as much, right? I mean, he's had three games. He's gone over 6.5 just the once. You throw minus money on the 6.5 and you get him to stay under. You know, I think that's very suspicious from them. And I think Kershaw might have a nice night here, man. I do. There's even been some there's been a slight move here on the money line of minus 170 to minus 174. These are minuscule moves now.
Sure, 4 cents, but still.
So people have decided to wake up and you know, touch the Dodgers at least once.
That's fair. So let me ask you one more question about this game one. And, you know, I asked you in essence a backhanded way of, you know, what kind of confidence you have in these starting pitchers because of the K prop, right? I'm going to follow up on that with a total of 7.5, Kev.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes, we have seen lower scoring games in these playoffs, in the LCS round at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have started to see some lower ones. Do you think that trend continues? 7.5 is not that high. Or do we have, you know, after the rest and the new stage, we're not in LA where the balls were flying out, right? We are in Texas. All these games will be at night, which is a little different, right? It's a little chillier. And people may laugh at this, but these are real factors with the ball flying out. And Globe Life Stadium, Kev, remember we thought this was going to be a home run park early in the season, and it turned out to not be as much. So talk to me about this total in your opinion.
I like the over. All right. So it's 8:30 in the morning, right?
It is. A lot of things can still go down in the 11 hours before we see the lineups introduced. Yeah.
Not only, but right, which means you and I, that's one of the things about, we get to do the show. It is the early line. I love it. But there's a lot of times I've said some things to you here,
And then by the time it like comes back around, I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. But right now, as I sit here, I think the Dodgers might rout this team tonight.
Really?
I think they might go out there and have a big performance. I think I might want to lay the run and a half at almost plus 120. I think the Dodgers might have a bit of a tone-setting performance here where their bats are going. I think Glasnow in the biggest moment of his career up against those bats is not something that I'm looking to back. I think Kershaw has a nice performance. I think this is Dodgers all the way. Game number one. I think this is Dodgers all the way.
Run line? Run line?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. We have talked about this, right? How maybe the run line is a way to go to get some extra value. Listen, I can't be mad at it. I will say this. I have a little bit more faith in Glasnow than you do. It sounds like, right? Can it pop off? We saw them do it against Atlanta, right? Go for 11 in the first inning, right? So, you know, this far be Kyle it for Wright, me to though. Discredit what you were saying. But exactly, this is not Kyle Wright. This is a team that'll play some defense. And I like Glasnow a little bit more than you do. Can the Dodgers win this game? Could it still go over? Absolutely. But remember, I am taking the Rays in six. And part of that for me is the same thing it's always been, Kev, every time we talk baseball. For me, Glasnow, Morton, and Snell, I think, are going to be the winning hand here for the Tampa Bay Rays, and I think it could get started tonight. Even if they drop this one, I don't see the blowout path that you are, you know, bringing onto the radar here. I think it's going to be a great game. I do believe that if you want to do it, doing the run line to get you value is a very interesting way to go. So,
do they?
Go ahead.
I was going to see if they have the alt run line. You could lay it. The Rays are plus 260 minus 1.5.
Yeah,
I'm not mad at that.
Listen, you know what? And we're going to say this. We have to remember, Kev, every game to check whoever we like to win the game to see what it could be on the run line, because that's, you know, that's another way to do it, buying the point here or there to buy you some value. When we come back, we turn our attention to college football, and Kev, it's starting to heat up, and another Power 5 conference comes online. So we got to talk about that impact and some of the big time games, the new rankings. We'll do it all when we come back right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, right here to the Early Line, giving you the edge on Sports Grid. Dane Martinez and the candle burner, Kevin Walsh, giving you everything you need, hopefully to make it a profitable day. Kev, we've been doing this show for over half a year now, and if you know one thing about me, it's that I love chaos. Remember when we had that National League playoff picture, and I was all about it? With the idea of moving the NFL schedule around, I'm all about it. And there is no place, Kev, where I think we are open to chaos theory than in college football this year. We started to talk about it a little bit last week, and we had some games, we had some upsets, some top 10 teams went down, some top 10 teams were idle because of COVID, and some top 10 teams are still standing at 0-0. So let's talk about it, because we have the updated top 25, and, you know, kind of, I would say the biggest loss was, you know, North Carolina. You know, they were the number 5 team in the country. They went down to Florida State. Ironically, Notre Dame, after what I thought was a pathetic, like, 12-7 victory, somehow go up a spot. Georgia, who lost to Alabama, they fall down. I've got some things to take away, including where my Cincinnati Bearcats are. But what were your kind of top-line takeaways from the new top 25 in college football?
Yeah, I really was surprised that Georgia did not move more. And I think a lot of other teams now need to be very concerned that that's the case. Because if Georgia's not going to be dinged for what I thought was ultimately not a very good loss, they have their next game after a bye against Kentucky, who's been good. It's a game Georgia will be favored in. They host Florida, who is good. but a game Georgia will be favored in, and so on and so forth. They are going to be favored throughout, potentially meeting Alabama again in the SEC championship, where, of course, a second loss should eliminate them.
Yes.
But now, if Bama is able to hold serve throughout, this is where a lot of these other conferences, you know, are really up against the eight ball. They have the ability to send two. I just think the fact that Georgia was not dinged more for being shut out in the second half and losing that game by 17 points is something I disagree with. But what are you going to do? You can't, you know, mix it now. The other thing I'll add quickly, and, you know, we can take this any direction.
Sure.
I thought Ohio State was going to be third when this came out. I think it shows that there might be some voters then who say, I'm not moving these teams until they play football.
You see them.
Yeah. And that means there could be some big moves in the Big Ten after just 1 week.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and that's part of where I want to go. First on Georgia, Kev, the way I framed it, remember last week when I was talking about Cincinnati and American Conference teams, the term I used was these teams in Power 5 conferences that have to play each other, when they lose, they will, quote-unquote, fall by the wayside. Yeah. And I think what you are describing, accurately so, is that Georgia still has not fallen by the wayside just yet, right? Now, the way it plays out, if they ultimately lose an SEC championship game to Alabama, that will likely be enough for them to fall by the wayside. But the fact that they haven't just yet is what puts the idea that the SEC could still send in two. You also mentioned the Big Ten, which I think is absolutely important. If we could put up the top 25 rankings over again, right? Look at this, Kev. In the Big Ten, these are teams that have not played. We have no clue what they look like on the field. Now, can they live up to expectations? Absolutely. But I tell you, you know, Oklahoma is not even in the poll anymore. And they were favored to dominate in their conference, right? So it has to be plausible, right? So when I see Ohio State at 5 and Penn State at 8 and Wisconsin at 14, Michigan at 18, and the Golden Gophers of Minnesota at 21, those are 5 teams that are occupying spots, but we have no idea what they look like. And remember, listen, Florida has lost a game and fallen already, right? We've seen Oklahoma look a lot worse than people thought. Kev, I hear you about Ohio State being third because I think a lot of people just assume that this college football playoff is going to be Clemson, Alabama, you know, Ohio State, and the fourth. I gotcha. But talk to me about, like you said, the liability and risk of Big Ten teams, you know, not necessarily falling by the wayside, but not looking like we think. They're 0-0, Kev.
So this is something when the rankings were first given to us. Oklahoma, Texas, LSU, Auburn, all top 10, all out of the top 25. Is that a matter of COVID circumstances, or they just weren't as good as people thought? It's tough to say. Nevertheless, those teams are gone. So realistically now for the Big Ten, this is what I think people have to – there's a lot for us to learn, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot for us to learn. So they have – I think it's 5 teams right now in the top 25. They're going to command respect in this range here.
And that's fine.
But if – you know, let's just take Michigan, for example. If they go out there and they lose to Minnesota
– they're at Minnesota.
Right, and then drop the next week's game. All right, hit the brakes. You're not good. Like, they will move on from these teams because we're also dealing in tighter windows as well.
Exactly.
Right? Less time to get back and less time to make it up. So, but look, in the same vein, all Ohio State has to do is hold serve and get in.
They got to run the table. They got to run the table.
And they're going to be favored to do so.
Yes, they are.
So – that's kind of the thing with the college football playoff right now. Clemson, Bama, and Ohio State, the degree at which they control their own destiny like, yeah, Notre Dame controls it around destiny, but that involves beating Clemson. It's a hard thing to do, right? Clemson, Bama, and Ohio State are all favored to go unbeaten, and as long as they do that, they're in. That's why we're talking about one spot remaining for all of these other teams. Or you got to go out there and pull off big upsets as double-digit dogs, which is what these teams are going to be if they play the big three.
Mm-hmm. And I like that. Let's talk about them as the big three moving forward, because those we believe will be three out of the four spots. You make a good point. Notre Dame still could, if they run the table, have it in control, but that would require beating Clemson maybe twice. Georgia could still do it, but that would involve beating Alabama, likely in an SEC championship game, right? Okay, and we said it, Michigan against Minnesota is a very intriguing matchup of top 25 teams in the Big Ten right out the gate. But Kev, I just want to communicate to people, I fundamentally believe either Ohio State, Penn State, or Wisconsin is going to underperform. Right? Like, you just have to expect this. It's going to happen from somewhere. And if you're going to be like, oh, but it won't be Ohio State, fine. I don't think so either. But Oklahoma is not in the top 25 for the first time in decades. So who knows in this COVID season? You make a very interesting point. Let's talk about not teams that are not the big three, as you have outlined them, right? I like that. Can we put up the top 25 again? And Kev, you know me with the chaos theory, right? I'm all about Cincinnati. Cool. Let's put them aside. A huge game this week, Kev, is Oklahoma State playing Iowa State, number 6 versus number 17 in the country. And if you even entertained me thinking it was plausible that number 8 or 9 non-group of 5 team Cincinnati can run the table, well then Big 12 Oklahoma State, who is right now number 6, and you put aside the big 3, cool. We're looking for number 4 here, right? If you are not Clemson, Alabama, or Ohio State, you're just looking to get up to number 4. And Oklahoma State is already at 6. And like you said previously, Kev, the teams above them will likely be favored to at some point fall by the wayside. Oklahoma State only has a few more big time obstacles, and one of them is this Saturday with the Cyclones coming in. If they get this one done, right? And let's just say the Big Ten doesn't look amazing. What happens to the Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean, that's why when you were mentioning Cincinnati, I said, let's keep Oklahoma State in the same conversation. Now, here's the tough thing for them. Georgia is idle. Notre Dame is laying 10.5. Clemson is laying 45, Bama's laying 21, Ohio State's laying 26. I say that to say, I don't know how much Oklahoma State can do to jump these teams, right?
They just got to not lose. They just got to not lose, because then, you know, when Notre Dame loses or when Georgia loses, even if it's in the SEC championship game, that's all they need.
I wonder if Oklahoma State wins big, can they jump Georgia? An idle Georgia who lost, who I still believe should have moved down more. Can a big Cowboys performance get them above Georgia? That's when the whole thing shifts. That's what gives the Big 12 new life. This is maybe the most important game they have, because this is one that gives them credibility. They're, you know, unfortunately for them, they have to play Oklahoma and Texas, and they're not going to get
doesn't mean as much
because they're all they're dropped out. Oklahoma State not only needs a win here, Dane, but they do need an impressive win
to
make this a tighter conversation. Because if the Big 12 trophy winner is looked at as some consolation prize of somebody had to win it, then you're not in the mix. You beat Iowa State by 14. It's a different conversation.
Okay, fair enough. So Oklahoma State, number 6, the Big 12 could be that leader in the catbird seat for number 4, right? But they have to look good doing it, and they've got a chance against number 17. I now bring up my Cincinnati Bearcats, Kev, who have a big game. Listen, if you thought that Oklahoma State at home against number 17 was a good proof point, then what about Cincinnati on the road at number 16? I think it was important that SMU got the overtime win to stay undefeated against Tulane. Talk to me about the proof point that this could be for Cincinnati if they beat another top 20 team on the road to remain undefeated. I looked at the rest of their schedule, Kev. They got three home games after this. This is the last time they will play a ranked opponent. It may not look great, but if they keep that bagel on the right side of their record, they're still in the mix too, right?
College sports is why I value betting so much. In terms of a general conversation around sports and how it helps you know a lot more than those who push it to the side. If SMU wins this game, an upset, 16 beats 9. No. SMU is favored. SMU are 2.5-point favorites. So that's something to keep in mind here, right? Well, no, but SMU can come in and replace them. But that win for Cincinnati now is not, you beat SMU. No.
It's SMU on the road.
They're field goal dogs, basically. That is a substantial victory, okay? So keep that in mind here for Cincinnati. This is, similar to Oklahoma State, a chance to boost the profile. This is a big opportunity here for Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'll throw one more wrinkle into this when we come back, because we ain't done with the path to number 4. And we'll talk about that real quick on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody, right here onto the grid, giving you the edge on the early line, Dane and Kev. And, you know, Kev, I'm looking at chaos theory, right? I'm trying to find, you know, teams you wouldn't have thought of, like Oklahoma State that's sitting in the top 10 with a path. I even believe SMU, BYU, Cincy, an intriguing perfect storm path. Kev, there are 5 Power 5 conferences. We're talking about the big 3. Then we mentioned the case of Iowa State, Oklahoma State in the big 12. Kev, there's the Pac-12, another major conference where the highest ranked team is the Oregon Ducks at, I believe, number 13. You made a great point. They're going to have a ridiculously condensed schedule, Kev. This is no also-ran team. This is a national program. The Oregon Ducks are number 13 in the country. Talk to me, Kev, about the potential for the Oregon Ducks, or anybody else in the Pac-12, quite frankly, to go undefeated, like we're talking about with Oklahoma State, like we're talking about with Cincinnati, but these guys are behind them right now. How would they go undefeated, and how could they leapfrog some of these even other, you know, undefeated teams? How does Oregon at 13 leapfrog Cincy at 9 when Cincy's got a potentially a win against SMU that looks good, and Oregon has no one on their schedule outside of USC that's in the top 25? Is there any chance, as we sit here right now on October 20th, for a Pac-12 team to play for the championship?
No. I mean, this is a real good reminder that college football is basically a lawless country right now. I mean, Oregon has 6 games on the schedule. Clemson's playing their 6th game this week. Oregon, the best game they can play, according to the rankings, is the USC team in the Pac-12 championship, right? So I guess that would be their 7th game, right? USC's not even on the schedule for Oregon. Yeah.
Cincy would have to beat SMU and beat another probably ranked team in their conference championship also.
Yeah. So, that's the reality, man. I don't see a world where Oregon – I'll put it like this. Oregon is not going to get over a 2-loss Georgia. If that's the case, you're done.
Yeah. And the funny part, Kev, is they don't get over an undefeated Oklahoma State. I don't think they get over an undefeated Cincinnati Bearcats either, which is absolutely ridiculous and why it's all crazy. Tomorrow, we're going to have our guy Joe Lisi to further break this down and see if chaos theory has a chance to reign supreme for my man Kev, who we won't see tomorrow, but we'll be back on Thursday. We say, hey, the morning after is up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.